Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. He tells his students that if someone had told him when he graduated from high school that 10 years later he would be a youth minister, he would have punched them in the face. Church, much less ministry, was not even on his radar. And his post-high school lifestyle was less than exemplary, certainly not Christian. Yet God, in his infinite mercy, allowed him to follow the consequences of that lifestyle to their ends so that he would look up and see that God loved him and had a crazier life for him, a crazier life than even the party scene could afford. A life in ministry. As usual, we pause for a moment just to remind you, the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, it's a show, sometimes we get a little raw on this show because we're talking about real life, and sometimes real life is raw. Sometimes I look at the Bible and I think the Bible is very raw. But that's, I think, where we can connect, where Christ meets with you and meets with us. And it's through this show that it is our hope, it's our prayer. People are praying that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way if you don't know him already. Kainoa Valente would say, fast forward a few years to 2008, and I found myself graduating from the King's Seminary in Van Nuys, California, with a master's degree in practical theology. He is now the youth minister at Kaimuki Christian Church and just loves it. He says, every day my students and I have the opportunity to change the world, to usher in God's kingdom of love and peace to a planet that knows mostly hatred and war. There's more to life than spending 70 or so years trying to numb yourself to the pain before you kick the bucket. There's an abundant life in the Spirit through Jesus, and I want to show this generation what it's all about. Kainoa Valente, he's married to Sarah. They have one son, Enzo.
And a daughter.
And he's going to tell us about Enzo and his daughter. Kainoa, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Brother Danny. Appreciate that.
Tell us about Enzo and your new daughter.
So yeah, I have two children now. That bio's a little out of date. We'll have to go ahead and update that on the website. But my son Enzo is 2.5. He just made 2.5. And I love that boy. He's just a ball of energy and joy. Mm-hmm. And he makes coming home every day just awesome. And as soon as he hears me walk in the door, he comes running around the corner and just throws his arms around me. It's beautiful. And we just had our daughter. Her name is Ella Amalia, Ella for short. Mm-hmm. And she was born in August, and so she just made 2 months. And she's homesick right now, so we're praying for her as well. But she's just the cutest thing. What amazes me is that they can have the same genetic material. You know, it's the same parents, the same DNA strands, and yet they come out of the womb so differently. Mm. My son was silent. He didn't make a peep when he was born. And my daughter came into the world just wailing away. Mm. And it was just an amazing experience and realization that God creates them just so differently. With the same material even. So,
how did you get the name Enzo? How did you choose that name?
So Enzo, I'm a bit of a car nut. And the gentleman who started the Ferrari Motor Company, mm-hmm. Is Enzo Ferrari. He used to be a race car driver for Alfa Romeo in the early 1900s. And then he went and formed his own company. And one night we were just up, my wife Sarah and I, you know, just throwing out names, and you know, Enzo popped into my head. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna try this one. You know, it doesn't hurt. You know, to just try it. If she says no, it's no. And I was like, what about Enzo? She's like, I like it. It's different. It's unique. Let's do it. All Enzo. Right. So.
Well, Enzo is, I think it's a cool, well, it's an Italian name,
yeah,
right?
It's an Italian name, so it works.
Tell us, Kainoa, where did you grow up? What was it like in your growing up years?
Yeah, so that question is always pretty interesting for me, because I was born here at Kapi'olani Children's Hospital, like so many of us. But when I was 4, my dad joined the Navy. So from about 4 years old to about 14 years old, we moved around quite a bit. We lived in Florida and in Maine and Corpus Christi, Texas, and Yokosuka, Japan. And then when I was 14, we moved back to the islands for me to start high school. And so we lived in Mililani, and I went to Iolani High School. And then after that, I left Hawaii to go to the mainland for school. And so my entire life, I've never really lived anywhere beyond 3 years. I mean, even the first 4 years of my life here in Hawaii, we lived in town, we lived in Kaneohe, we lived kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to maybe putting down some stronger roots and not having to move around so much. But
counterbalance.
Yeah. When people ask me that question, I just find that, well, I'm from all over.
Uh-huh.
My roots are here, but I'm definitely from all over.
Who influenced you most in those early years?
Yeah. So growing up, definitely my dad. My dad just taught me a lot about what it was to be a man. I remember he would go on deployments for 6 months at a time, sometimes 9, sometimes 3 months. And from even the earliest days when I was 6 or 7 and he would go off to Europe for these deployments, he'd always tell me, take care of your mother and your sister. And reflecting on that, I mean, as a 6-year-old, what can a 6-year-old do for his mom, who is an adult and self-sufficient? Well, not much, but still it was instilled in me from a very early age. You take care of the women in your life. You make sure that they're taken care of. And then I remember when I was 12 and, going through those life changes where as a boy, you're starting to become a man and you're wanting your own, identity and boundaries. One of the things he did, is he let me into his record collection. He's like, here are my records. You can, here's how a record player works. And I'm talking like wax and needles and, learning how that all works. And he's like, this is how it works. Have at it. And I remember going through his collection and, listening to, Led Zeppelin, listening to Van Halen, Jimi Hendrix, that record just blew me away. Are You Experienced? I remember the side benefit of that was that my mom absolutely hated my dad's music. And so when I stumbled onto Purple Haze and the reaction of my mom to it, as a 12-year-old boy, that was just amazing because it was like, now I have a way to aggravate my mom, which, is not the best thing you want to do, but it is what it is. So definitely my dad. That was a big influence coming up.
What was it about your dad that moved you so much?
I think it was just his commitment. He's always been a very committed and disciplined person. I mean, you kind of have to be that way in the military, in the Navy. And his just, commitment to family and his commitment to, serving his country and his disciplined lifestyle. Even from the very beginning, every morning, the same question, did you wash your, wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your hair? Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your hair. Did you do that? Saturday room inspections, make sure your room is clean, no dust. And he lived that out. And I don't know, I've always respected that as somebody who's maybe not of the military cut and more of the musician cut. I feel like I can respect that discipline in leading your life and kind of your approach to life that way.
Now, how would you describe yourself, as a teenager and then, of course, graduating high school and then going on to college? What was life like?
Yeah, I mean, as a teenager, I mean, my freshman year was pivotal for me. I had just come into a brand new school, brand new, zip code in country. I mean, I had just been in Japan for 7th and 8th grade, and I had been kind of that awkward kid. I grew way too fast to keep up with my body, so I was lanky and uncomfortable. I had too many zits and glasses and braces, and it was the whole nine yards. It was just, if you could, pick out a typical nerdy kid, that would have been me in 7th and 8th grade. And when I came to Iolani in 9th grade, I kind of had that new start. The zits had gone away. My mom had got me contacts. Played football. I had never played football before, but I figured I'd give it a shot and did that my 9th grade year. And in high school, I was a little bit different in the sense that your typical high school stereotypes, you've got jocks, and you got band geeks, and you got orc dorks, and all these different social groups within in high school, and I was one of those that just kind of fit into a lot of different ones. I was an athlete. I mean, I played football and I wrestled, and so that made me a jock. But then I was also in stage band and did, you know, honor choir and did musical theater. So I was also on the other side with the arts crew and stuff. And so I found that I guess I was just able to mingle with different groups, different social groups in high school based on my interests and what I was involved in. So yeah, I felt it was pretty stable. I actually had a really good high school experience. I know for some, you know, that's not always the case, but I really enjoyed my time in high school. And once I got through my freshman year at Iolani, everything was fine.
Well, it was a privilege to meet you there at your freshman year.
Yeah, Coach Danny. I was telling Sarah before I got here, I was like, you know, I still have a hard time not calling him Coach Danny because, you know, he coached quarterbacks for the intermediate squad when I was ninth grade. Right. So.
Wow, we had a good team.
We did.
Now, those were good days, and you were a big part of it.
I tried.
We were glad to have the size and talent of Kainoa Valenti on our team. Well, Kainoa, you know, you've grown through that time, but there was a process that God took you through in life that was very, very pivotal. I think it not only will give hope to someone who's gone through it, maybe hasn't come out of it yet, you'll give hope to that person, but you'll even give hope to a parent or parents and those who are caring for someone who's going through those difficult times right now, that God does answer prayers and that God does work in the lives of people. And when we come back from our break, I want you to share that.
Will do.
We need to hear what God has done in your life. Gosh, we're living in a day when there is a dearth of hope. People are just jumping and scratching and looking for someone to say, hey, it's going to be okay. Hey, God can take this situation that's seemingly backwards. He can turn it marvelously and miraculously. He can turn it forward. And your future can be much better than your past. You're a testimony of that. You're going to share that. And I want you to tune in. This is a exciting opportunity, a tremendous time. Get the word out, let other people know. This is a good time to listen to the radio. It's also streaming live. Get someone to listen in. You can also catch it at thegoodlifehawaii.org. We're here with Kainoa Valenti. He's telling us his story. Stay with us. We're going to be back with a lot more deep stuff. Stay with us now. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
His father was in the Navy. His life was characterized by traveling all over the world. And then he found himself back here in Hawaii as a ninth grader going to Iolani School. He was highly intelligent. He was very athletic. And he was also very artsy. He could sing. He could play music. He could act. A multifaceted, wide array of talent. He went the gamut of talent and skill and had a good high school year. I'm talking about my guest today, Kainoa Valenti. Kainoa is the youth minister at Kaimuki Christian Church. You can find out more about Kainoa and his ministry there under Senior Pastor Ron Arnold. You can find out more at KaimukiChristian.org. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. We're talking about the life story of Kainoa Valenti and how God worked in and through his life. You can find out even a little bit more about his background as he connects with people who are military families, people who are wondering what it's like to go through struggles. While the rest of it can be heard at thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can hear the program in its entirety. And it is because of people like Michael Beasley of Kaiani that Kainoa is with us today. Kainoa, take us back. You know, you graduated high school. Mm-hmm. What happened after that? Take us on your journey, even your spiritual journey. What happened?
Yeah, definitely. So in high school, I mean, every high school there is, whether it's public or private, there's always the party scene going on. But throughout high school, I kind of avoided it, not necessarily because of my faith convictions, but more so because I was an athlete. And doing football and wrestling meant that I was an athlete pretty much year-round. When wrestling mm-hmm. season ended, spring training for football started. And then when football ended, wrestling had already begun. So I was just kind of the year-round thing. Because I'd grown up in the church. I'd grown up always going to church, and I got baptized when I was 11, and so I had the faith commitment there, sort of. And that's kind of the thing that came to pass the second semester of my senior year. I'd blown out my knee my senior year playing football on a kickoff return. And so I wasn't able to wrestle that year. I'd, you know, had the reconstructive surgery done and wasn't able to wrestle. So I wasn't playing any sports, didn't need to be, you know, entirely physically fit to the level of wrestling and football. And I remember I'd gone to a party, like I'd done before with some of my friends. And before going to that party, my girlfriend at the time had gotten upset at me for something. And she was always kind of upset about things with hanging out with these friends because they all drank. And she was like, I don't want you drinking. I'm like, I'm not going to drink. I'm just here to hang out with my friends. And that night I was like, you know what, if she's going to be upset at me, if she's going to be, you know, pissed off at me, then you know what, I'm going to do what she thinks, what she's been telling me not to do this whole time. I'm going to drink. And I remember sitting at, you know, one of those poolside tables with the glass top, and there was a flask of Bacardi Gold. I remember it, and I remember just, I didn't even know whose bottle it was. I reached for the bottle, you know, twisted open the top. It was pretty much full, and took my first swig, and I was like, I like this. I like that warm feeling. I like that lightness, and I just kept drinking and drinking. And I remember that night, I think we finished that bottle and moved on to beer. And I remember, wow, like alcohol, this is kind of interesting. This is kind of cool. You know, this is fun. You know, all my friends are having a good time. I'm having a good time. This is awesome. This is cool. And, you know, that was kind of my first taste of that. And, you know, there were a couple of parties, you know, up until the end of the senior year where, you know, we kind of just go that route and party. And then I went to college, University of Northern Colorado. Went with a bunch of my friends. We all kind of went to the same school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just get into the party scene in Greeley, Colorado, where UNC is at. Wednesday night's kind of the big party night. And as a musician, I played ukulele at the time, and we had a band going. So, like at the Hawaii parties and stuff like that, we'd play music. And you play music, you kind of get popular. People are like, hey, yeah, you know, keg's over there. You know, go have your drinks. You know, everything is just, you know, all dandy, all cherry on that one. And I remember just drinking a lot during that first semester, freshman year. But I kind of knew that this wasn't really, you know, what I should be doing. And I was at the point where I actually wanted to come home. I remember calling up my mom one time and you know, kind of the normal Sunday conversation thing that we would do. And I said, hey, you know, I think I want to come back home. I want to come back home. And she's like, well, why? And I really couldn't tell her that, you know, I really didn't like it up there. And, you know, I was kind of doing all these things because, you know, for our family, for me to go away to college was kind of a big thing. I mean, it's a big thing for a lot of people in Hawaii, you know, for their young kids to like go off to the mainland for college and you know, do the Hawaii version of the American dream. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, and she said, you know what, why don't you just stick it out to the end of the year and we'll talk at the end of the year and we'll see how that works out. I was like, all right, okay, okay. And I remember coming back for Christmas break, and even my grandma, she knew what was up because she looked at me and was like, wow, Kaino, your face got really fat, you know, from all the beer. And
you know, the people in the older generation, they just tell it like it is.
They know. My grandma, she always just tell it like it is, which has gotten, you know, me into trouble. But
I've had that too, man. I've had people come up to me and go, ooh, Danny, you look very full. Your face round now.
That's exactly what my grandma said. My grandma from Maui, she was like, you look very full in the face. I'm like, I hope that's good. And you're too white. Go get some sun. Okay, grandma, I got you. But then I remember going back for that second semester and you know, a friend of mine was starting to maybe experiment a little bit more into what was available. And, you know, he started smoking weed, and then, you know, he's like, here, you know, check this out. And I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. You know, let's see what this is all about. So, you know, started, you know, smoking weed, and was like, wow, okay, this is cool. This is cool. And then, you know, but we were trying, you know, we're Iolani kids. So we're trying to make rules about it so we can like stay legit in college. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, we're only going to do it on Wednesday night, 'cause that's party night. And Friday night, because that's another party night.
So you're just kind of, you're regulating this thing.
Or
you're
think
trying,
we're regulating
trying to regulate it.
It.
But you may not have even realized it, but you're on a slippery slope.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Because then it was funny. We said Wednesday night and Friday night. And then we started saying pretty much any day that ends in Y, we're gonna herb out. And, you know, obviously Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
so,
they all
so
end in Y.
So things kept going. And how did things come to ahead, so to speak.
So that pretty much has progressed. It progressed from weed to ecstasy to cocaine to psychedelic mushrooms to whatever we could just kind of find. And I remember by the time I got into the junior year of college and getting to the end of that junior year, I was like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of this situation because I knew that it wasn't cool. I knew that it wasn't right. I knew that I was actually kind of losing hope. I was like, how am I going to get out of this? Mm-hmm. You know, this sucks. I'm just trying to numb myself to this feeling of hopelessness.
Well, where was that feeling coming from? You know, this despair.
Yeah, I don't think I would, you know, at that point in my life, I would be able to like target and say, oh, it's coming from here. But it was just, you know, that gut feeling, you know, what Hawaiians would call like from your, oh, it's like you just know it in your gut that this isn't right, that this is not the way to live, to mm-hmm. wake up and, you know, be looking for a high. And trying to maintain that high the whole day just so you can get through the day. I mean, I knew that that wasn't the way to live. And so I remember calling my folks and saying, I'm moving back in. And I remember they, you know, accepted it. They didn't really ask me too many questions, and I wasn't going to give them too many answers. And I remember just moving back home thinking that if I could just change my situation, then it'll change everything else. If I could just get out of that situation, then I'd be able to get clean again.
So you're going to want to change your environment, yeah. change your surroundings, your mm-hmm. context. And where was Christ in this whole picture?
Pretty much nowhere. I mean, when I went to college, I think I went to church once the whole time I was there. I went on an Easter, you know, typical, yeah. I went for an Easter service to this church that was like a block away from my house. And I remember sitting there, and it was a lot of old people and old music. And I think there was a sit down, stand up kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, well, this is nice. I'm going home after this and do what I'm going to do. And then I even remember one of my coworkers when I was working at the cafeteria in college, and you know, reaching out to me, trying to get me to come to a Bible study. And I think I went once, and I was just like, this doesn't seem like my scene. I think I'm going to get out of this.
So you were thinking that way. Probably your countenance had a somewhat of an aloof disposition. But yet inside your heart, there was a crying out.
Yeah.
There was some kind of yearning. You know, sometimes we can think that just by looking at somebody, we all do it. I do it. We look at someone and we kind of profile where we think that person is at, and sometimes that can be very misleading. So I think we should probably be a little bit more sensitive as best we can. You know, I'm like in your case, you weren't, you were searching, you were looking, but inside you were really crying out for help.
Yeah, well, I would say so.
And what happened at that time as things continued to
unfold? I moved back thinking, you change your environment, you can change everything else. Mm-hmm. Everything else will follow. Well, that didn't really happen. I mean, within a week of being at Leeward Community College, I had all my hookups already. And so I was back to the same lifestyle. Even more so when I was working as a waiting tables and doing the restaurant thing. You just kind of have a lot of money on hand at the end of the night. And so... you just kind of just keep going for it, and this is what works, and this is how I get through my life. This is how I get through my days. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Like, I'm going to school to study journalism. I wanted to write for the car magazines, but in the meantime, you know, I just need to make sure that I can stay level throughout the day, and so whatever it takes, whether it's drinking or whether it's, you know, smoking weed, whatever it takes to get me through my day, I'm going to do. But, you know, to kind of fast forward, it was the semester actually before I graduated college. You know, God had brought me to this place, and you know, looking back, I can see that was His hand. But in the moment, I was like, "What's going on here?" I got laid off from my job, and then I started to run out of money because you're not taking money in, but you're spending a lot of money on whatever it takes to keep you level. Mm-hmm. You start running out of money, and then when you start running out of money, some of those friends start to bail on you. You know, friends that you would go out with all the time and party with, you know, if you don't have money to party with, then they're kind of not there either. And so I remember, you know, having just enough to make sure that I had what I needed to stay level. But I remember one morning I woke up and I didn't have anything. I had smoked the last of it the night before, and I was coming, you know, I was waking up, and I remember, you know, it was the first time I'd woken up sober in 6 years. And I woke up and I remember hearing this voice that said, "Get on your knees." And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And the voice said, "Get on your knees." And at that point I was like, "Well, I got nothing else to lose. I got no job, I got no money, and I got no friends, I got nothing else to do today. So I'll get on my knees." And I remember getting on my knees in my room and kind of face planting the carpet. And I think I got a few words out. It was something to the effect of, "God, I'm sorry." And I just remember bawling. And I just remember repeating kind of the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's like, "I've done life my way. My way sucks. I want to do it your way. My way sucks. I want to do it your way." Mm-hmm. And I don't remember how long I was there for. It was probably like 45 minutes. But I remember, now I have the vocabulary to talk about it. But I remember... you know, just kind of the Holy Spirit and the warmth and peace coming over me in that moment, and almost cleansing me. It felt like being, dipped into a warm jacuzzi, and just that feeling of warmth and peace and love, and knowing that I had been forgiven and I was being created anew, and that today and the days afterward were going to be different.
And you had that assurance in you.
Oh, from the very beginning. I mean, and that's kind of the thing. I mean, you can do the head job on it and try to rationalize a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But there are certain things that you can't unrationalize. And when you come into contact, when you experience the living God, the Holy Spirit, I can't rationalize that away. In fact, what sent me is I had to go find answers to what it was that had happened.
I want to find out what some of those questions were that you needed answers to, because it is a pivotal point in life, and it's such a thing as what you're doing right now and just sharing what you're sharing. We are wanting, it's the Lord that is wanting to interface with someone's life at this very moment. They're wondering if things can get better. They're wondering if they can have a new start. They're wondering if their child or their friend or their spouse may be characterized as in a similar situation as how you were. And things look pretty bleak. And sometimes people feel absolutely helpless and hopeless. But you, Kainoa, by the Lord's grace, are a testimony of how things can change radically. Revolutionary for the Lord. And now, man, you're influencing others in a very positive way. Yes, there is hope. There's hope for you as you listen to Kainoa Valenti share his story. I appreciate your candor. Sometimes life is just tough, but not too tough that God cannot turn things around. He can do it for you. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home. Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiahua dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinenna Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Alcohol, drugs, stuff like ecstasy. Well, he went from that to experiencing a different kind of ecstasy, one that wouldn't be taken away, one that he didn't have to spend all his money on, from the money that he gained from working all night. But it came from something much deeper as an experience that he had. Our guest today is Kainoa Valenti. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. We're back. We're talking with Kainoa, who is the youth minister at Kamaki Christian Church. You can find out more about him and his ministry. Pastor Ron Arnold there, Kamaki Christian. KamakiChristian.org. Find out more information about the ministry there and that very growing and dynamic church. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, we're here providing you with opportunities to hear life-changing stories. Hopefully it becomes a connecting point for you to invite a family member or friend. As you benefit from it, perhaps you'll say to yourself, man, I think my nephew or my niece or my friend, my spouse, my uncle or auntie needs to hear this story. You can access more resources like that, other stories, listen to this show in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.org. We're a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us is always appreciated. Kainoa, tell us, you encountered a change. Christ was working in your life and you're face planted. You're on the ground for about 45 minutes in your room because you heard a voice say, get on your knees, get on your knees. It's I think, more than a cathartic moment. You mentioned it, it's like you were in a warm jacuzzi. just overwhelming you. And what happened as you experienced that? What happened out of it?
Yeah, what happened out of that? I remember a pastor of mine when I was living in L.A. speaking that regardless of whether it's a road on Damascus or a gradual thing, you know, conversion is conversion. And for me, that was one of those road of Damascus things where it was in that moment, you know, coming into contact, into warm, loving relationship with the living God. Things immediately changed. I mean, I didn't have those desires for the drugs anymore. I mean, I had tried quitting before. You know, friends and family had tried to get me to quit, and I tried on my own, and it never took. It would take for maybe 2 or 3 days, and then, you know, you just get back into it. And I remember just not having that desire anymore. I was like, I've got something better. I don't need this. But it was difficult in the sense that most of my friends at the time, in fact, none of my friends at the time were Christians, and most of my friends at the time were, you know, people who I had kind of partied with, done stuff with. And so there was a point where I had to make a decision. I remember being picked up by one of my friends to go hang out, like we normally had done back in the day. And, you know, we would go and drive around and go and smoke and then go and have coffee and talk. And I remember we went. And I remember that the temptation in the car was there. You know, he's doing it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And then I gave in that once, and I was like, you know, this is after I got, you know, saved, quote unquote, and I took the hit. And I remember I had smoked for 6 years, and I never had those bad experiences that people talk about. But that moment, that one hit, it was as if God was saying, you're not going to do this. You're not going to, you know, put yourself before me and cry your eyes out to me and say that you'll follow my way and then go back. You make your decision right now. You make your decision right now. And I remember sitting there at Starbucks with my friend, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it. I'm still cool with meeting for a Starbucks or whatever, but I can't do this anymore. And he was like, okay. And I remember, you know, getting hired at Borders shortly after that. And I was the doorman at Borders. The guy at the front of the store says, you know, hi, welcome to Borders. Right, can I help you? Hi. And it was...
I've seen that guy many times.
I was that guy. And it's a cool place to be because it was almost a divine appointment. We talk about that because I was there. And I remember seeing the people who would come into Borders at Waikele while it was still open on a weekly basis, daily basis. And some of those people were friends that I hadn't seen in a while, friends, relationships that I had burned. I remember there was a guy who worked for me as an assistant manager. And I remember he walked in and he had a Bible tucked under his arm. And I was like, what you got there? And then he was like, a Bible? I'm actually a Christian now. And you got to understand, when I was in the restaurant day, I mean, a lot of restaurant workers were like that. You know, you yell, you throw things, you swear, you cuss, you make it happen because you have to. It's a high-pressure environment. So he had known me from those days and, you know, cussing and throwing stuff and getting all angry. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. I'm a Christian too. And the look on his face was priceless. I mean, I wish I could capture that and just put that up on my Facebook wall for all to see almost because he just couldn't believe that somebody like me or somebody like the me that he knew would be changed by the power of Jesus.
So you're experiencing this change. People are seeing the change. And the change is not just external, just acting.
No.
It's coming from deep convictions where you're, and maybe the Lord allowed that, you know, that moment where you said, I can't do this. So you're at Starbucks and you actually say to your friend, you know, I can't do it. It becomes a moment of decision. It sort of galvanizes you with a resolve that says, you know what, I'm going to live a new life. And we all need to come to a point like that. And it's an internal strength that God gives to us where a boundary is set so that we can be free. Interesting, yeah. Boundary set so we can really be free to be what God has called us to be and destined us to be. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. Yep. Now you're a youth minister. How did that all come to be? You went to seminary?
Yeah.
What happened?
So one of the guys that I met at Borders was my friend Brandon Ahu. We had known each other in high school through All-State Honor Choir. And he was a youth minister at New Hope Leeward. And he was kind of helping me. He was like my Ananias. He was getting me on track. He was teaching me how to do my devotions. And one night he says to me, hey, I do this youth ministry out at New Hope Leeward, and we could sure use the help. You'd love to have you come? And so I went, and I just remember the whole situation, just being afraid and oh my gosh, I have no clue. What am I doing here? I mean, I just stick out like a sore thumb. I'm some 26-year-old guy and like these kids, and just feeling out of place, but yet feeling that that's where I was supposed to be. So I did that for a while. I didn't think I was doing ministry. I mean, that's for pastors to do. I set up chairs and I set up sound systems. And at the end of the night, I cleaned up. And I was studying to, I changed from journalism. I graduated with my journalism degree and I was going to go teach middle school. I thought, hey, I want to, you know, work with young kids. So I'm going to teach middle school. I still had no ministry aspirations. That wasn't for guys like me. That's for pastor types. And so I'll be the guy who volunteers and sets up. Well, throughout that period, you know, there was this this sense that I was called for ministry. And you know, I didn't, again, it's like I have all this vocabulary now to describe what had happened those years ago. And at the time, I was like, I enjoy this. I feel like this fulfills me. I feel like this is what I was created for. And, you know, my buddy of mine signed me up, for this seminary scholarship. And because I been praying about that and in my devotions, God said, you know, get wisdom at all costs. I'm like, all right, seminary. Awesome. We'll do it. And I remember as they were processing my application, them calling me and saying, hey, we see that you've signed up for this program. And normally we could do it online study, but unfortunately, because of the program that you're going for, you need to be on ground. Has God spoken to you about moving to California? Now, there are two places in the world that I never wanted to move. One was New York City. The other was Los Angeles, California. I'm not a city guy. I'm not a townie. I like it out in the country. And I remember, okay, when do you need to know by? She's like, well, by tomorrow morning. I was like, oh, great. And so I remember we had youth worship rehearsal that afternoon. It was one of the worst rehearsals we ever had. The kids were just not paying attention and just getting out of control. And I remember having a serious talk with them afterwards. And then that night I was working with the adult team, and it went really well. And then one of the ladies on the team, she's like, you know, I just really sense that God has his anointing on you for this. And I just want you to keep doing this. I'm like, okay. And then Thursday night was kind of my custom to go over to my girlfriend Sarah's house. She's now my wife. Mm-hmm. And we would, you know, she would cook dinner and we'd eat dinner together and we'd talk about our day. And so we're talking and I was like, hun, I think God's calling me to move to Los Angeles and go to seminary. And I just remember her immediate response was, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of you. You have to go. And she threw her arms around me. And I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, because we'd only been dating for 5 months. And so for her to be just, you know, no, you have to go, you know, realizing that me going means that, you know, we're not going to see each other for a while. And that was kind of one of those moments where I knew that she was the one. And so I went off to seminary, and I still had no aspirations of youth ministry. I was about to graduate.
Well, that's what I want to get back to. How through this now? It's important that you, it's good that you share it because of how God works. I mean, somebody right now may be in a transition moment, and the Lord is redirecting them. And there are certain things that are seemingly subtle. Other things are more direct and more open. But this is affirming. It can be an affirmation that, at least for them to see that it's important to be open, how God is going to provide resources. Sometimes you might be thinking as you're listening to Kainoa, yes, God wants me to do this. I can see this possibility, but then you come across the financial barriers. It just doesn't make any sense of how you're going to do it. Well, sometimes it's beyond the resource capacity that you have, and the Lord is going to involve other people or other organizations or institutions or other ways by which the resources will come. So don't lose hope even with that. But when we come back from our break, Kainoa will share how he got this igniting in his heart of love for young people. He's doing it right now. There's an outflow of this love and passion. It seems as though the passion has grown. You can't be around him very long without it leaking out somewhere that he has a passion for the next generation, and that he believes that they're going to do great things. They're destined for great things. You listen to a guy like him, it gives you a lot of hope for the future too. And I think it comes from the Lord. You're going to be infused with more hope when we come back to hear more from Kainoa Valenti. Stay with us. The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Sometimes parents, they wonder, gosh, I don't know what to do with my son or my daughter. They seem like they're so far away. Well, Kanoa Valente was there, and he'll have a word of hope to share to you. There are also some people who might be listening that might be feeling like, gosh, if you ask me, I feel like I don't even want to crawl up from under the rock that I feel like I'm under right now. Things are so dark and dim. I'm so ashamed, and I feel so lost. But you know what? You are never so lost, and things are never so dark and dim that Christ and the light of Christ and the hope of Christ cannot bring you out and give you a new start and a new beginning. Kanoa Valente is joining us here at the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show to hear the rest of the show as he's opened up really to us and for us in the name of the Lord to bring Christ's hope. You can get the whole show at thegoodlifehawaii.org. We've got other resources there too. You might even be thinking, what does it mean to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.org, click the Get to Know Jesus tab. We'll help you along, maybe clarify some things, and help you along through that. We're joined here in this time, in this our last segment, our closing moments, Kanoa. You are vibrant in your ministry at Kamaki Christian Church with those young people. Tell us, how did it all happen? You graduated from seminary. How did this all converge?
Yeah, it all happened at marriage counseling, actually.
Really?
Sarah and I were planning to get married, mm-hmm. and we had gone to Pastor Ron, who, you know, I had known for a while. I mean, I had gone to Kamaki Christian when I was in high school, and so when we decided to get married, we wanted him to marry us. And we went through the counseling, and afterwards he said, hey, would you consider maybe coming on and helping us with our high school ministry? Mm-hmm. And I kind of gave the Christianese answer. I was like, hey, I'll pray about it. I'll pray about it because I had gotten asked earlier by another pastor about maybe coming on and helping with youth ministry. And I honestly, I didn't want to go back to it. Youth ministry is difficult. It's hard. And for all those who do it, Dude, much love and respect to you guys. And if you have a youth minister in your church, you guys should go love on him or her, because mm-hmm. they need that support. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, you know, kind of I'll pray about it. Well, I did. And it's not really because I wanted to, it's because the Holy Spirit wouldn't make it go away. Like I wouldn't even think about it. I'd be at work and then all of a sudden it'd pop up, or I'd be, you know, taking an exam in class and it would pop up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this thing won't go away. This thing just will not go away. I want it to go away. I don't want to do this. And, you know, 6-8 weeks later, I called up Pastor Ron. I was like, hey, was that legit? And he was like, yes, very much so. And soon enough, there I am, you know, coming back home to Hawaii to join Kaimuki Christian Church as a youth intern. And I was a minister 6 months later. They gave me charge of the middle school and the high school students, which is just so much fun. It's two different bags of students. I mean, you've got middle schoolers who are just, especially the boys, I love them because it reminds me of how I was. They're just rambunctious and they're so full of energy and they're excited. And
so that's why you were rambunctious, huh?
You know,
the Lord was preparing you for what you're doing right now. You can relate now.
He has his ways. And so, yeah, and they're just awesome. And middle school girls, I love also because they're actually very thoughtful and they're very, they think a lot about, you know, really complex and deep issues that even grown men just have no capacity for, and they process things so well. And then my high schoolers, I love, they're just, and I think that's why I gravitate towards high school, and I love doing high school ministries, because I still believe that they have probably the greatest potential to change the world that we live in. I think that we find high schoolers and middle schoolers especially at a point in their lives where hope is still real. You know, there comes a certain point where, you know, whether for me it was in my early 20s, for some people it can come earlier or later, mm-hmm. where cynicism starts to kind of bury itself into your heart. You start to think, you know, there is really no way to change my world. You know, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, those in power stay in power. And you just kind of give up. And so you try to figure out ways just to get by in life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I was talking about in my bio on KaimukiChristian.org, is that you just try to find ways to get by. And I believe that young people still have this sense of hope left within them. It hasn't been, you know, kicked out of them by the world that says that we can change the world. And I want to affirm that. I want to affirm every young person's desire to change their world, to make a brighter day for all of us, because I think that's what Jesus would have us do. I think that's, you know, part and parcel of the message of the gospel. It's not just that we'll go to heaven one day, but it's also that you can have life now. You can have freedom now.
You're hitting a nerve. I think when you talk about that, it almost makes me wonder if it hits a nerve of deep embedded joy in the heart of Almighty God. Because, you know, when we look at scripture and look at some of the great things that God did through people, many of them were done, they would be considered today as exploits that these young people did. Young people did. I mean, they did it when they were teens. Their ideas, their visions, their character, the capacity was being fashioned at such a young age. And when you speak about that, the ideals that they have, they can still do it. How did you begin to observe that, and how did it stir your heart?
Yeah. How did I begin to observe that? I don't know if I began to observe it or just this feeling. I remember when I was at New Hope Leeward and, you know, working with the youth worship team and just having this sense of feeling of reading students, of seeing that they didn't approach the world like I had approached the world in my 20s, my early 20s, in that, oh, that person's probably in it for something else, and they're in it for themselves, and, you know, this is going to all work out badly. And to see that and be inspired by young people in that sense of, you know, there are people actually out there who hope and who believe in the goodness of others. And I get that even with my youth at Kaimuki Christian, that, you know, even though life can be difficult, and I think for, you know, students across the island, whatever their socioeconomic, you know, position in life, life is difficult all around. And even though life can be difficult, there's still this sense that we can rise above it, that we can hope above it. And unfortunately, what we're seeing in youth ministry, or just, you know, youth culture in general, is that unfortunately, when that grasping of hope, when that idea of hope exits the building, life exits as well. I mean, young people don't stick around once hope has left the building. We see that in suicide rates. I remember my sister, one of her classmates her senior year, I think hung himself. For a teenager, when hope exits the building, so does life. And we constantly come back to this idea of hope and life and really real life.
Give us a parting shot, Kainoa. A mother right now is thinking, I need a word of hope for my son. And someone right now is thinking, hey, I need a word of hope for myself. What would you say?
Yeah, I would actually quote a song. Gungor, a favorite band of mine, they have this song called Beautiful Things. And the chorus goes, you make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. And it comes back to this notion of God is in control. And God is making beautiful things out of dust and out of us. And to keep that hope, for those of us who are under the rock, as you put it, hope has left the building. Hope has not left the building. Hope, his name is Jesus, and he's there with us, and he's there with you. And to cling to that hope, and to even, step out from under that rock. And I encourage people, a community is a huge thing, and you need to find a community of Jesus who will love you as Jesus would love you and help to restore that hope. For a parent who maybe has a son or a daughter or even a niece or a nephew who are making decisions and doing things which seem to just defy all hope, why are you going this direction? Why are you doing these sorts of things? Mm-hmm. To continue to pray to the God of hope, the God of peace, the God who not only is close to each and every one of us, as Paul said in Athens, but is a seeker, who goes after us, and to pray for that person and to know that ultimately it's in his hands, and we can trust a God who is loving and hope filled and peaceful.
There you go. There you go. From the heart of Kainoa Valenti, really from the heart of God through him to you, right where you are today. This has really been a program of hope and faith and life. Put your trust in the Lord and go hold steady, hold steady. Here's a scripture for today, Lamentations chapter 3. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined today by our featured guest, Kainoa Valenti. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.